Scottish missionary John G. Payton received a call to the ministry to go to Latana Island in New Hebrides. He realized that there were risks because he was going to be ministering to people who were known to be cannibals. That would sober one up. So he took a walk with his father in Scotland and had a long talk about what God was speaking into his heart, and he knew that unless Dad would support him, and the information comes from his autobiography, he would not go. And they talked, and they cried, and they prayed. And toward the end of the walk, his father said to him, "God bless you, my son. Your father's God prospers you and will keep you from all evil." And it was at that point he broke, John broke, Payton. And he knew that Dad was with him and it was okay, that he could leave and go to the Tana Island and share Christ in a dynamic way. Now, not all sons have that kind of relationship with Dad, nor do daughters, but this father and son did. And it was a close, trusting experience between the two of them. And there was a willingness to work things out before God together. And so today I want to challenge our dads to be the influence with your children, regardless of age, and allow God to deepen relationships beyond where you have been before. Today I'm going to use Abraham as our example for a dad, the father of faith, and his relationship within his own family. There are four vignettes of Abraham's life we're going to look at. The first is when Abraham and his nephew Lot split up and went separate ways with their two households. That's the first vignette. The second is when Lot, having made choices that weren't really good, found himself in trouble. He and his family were captured and taken away by neighboring kings who had attacked, and Abraham decided to go after Lot and his family. That's the second vignette. And then we have the vignette where Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be judged by God. And Abraham has intervention of heart in prayer, asking God to spare who he may, and three come out of it, and the rest are destroyed. And the last vignette has to do when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And in all these, we have lessons of fatherhood that I would like to share with you today. So the first thought is Abraham allowed God to direct his life. And dads, I want to challenge you to do the same. The herdsmen of Abraham and Lot did not get along. They were fighting with each other and decided that they could not live in the same vicinity anymore. So Abraham, in generosity of heart, said to Lot, "Choose where you go, and I will go where you don't." His trust of God was that big. So I read to you from Genesis 18, 8 and 9. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Now, there are choices here. And to what extent do we allow choices to be influenced by God? So, dads, do you allow God to choose your choice of work? Pastor, I'm quite confident you've done that. God has chosen your work. Do we allow God to choose our work? Do we allow God to choose the friends we keep? Big one. The friends we keep, they influence us greatly. And do we allow God to influence the home we live in? Is God involved with you in these choices? And I have seen pastored the same church for 31 years, the only church I ever pastored. And they, you know, I graduated. Anyway, not there anymore, miss them terribly, but thankful for the new position. But I found in watching people in the church, some people would allow God to influence their marriage, and there was blessing. Some would not. Some would allow God to influence their work. There was blessing. And those that didn't had troubles they shouldn't. Some would allow God to influence where they would live, their finance, and others would choose to govern those choices by themselves and pay the consequence. And so I want to challenge you to let God in every choice. Every choice, okay? Because God wants to be involved in the consequence. And when God is in the consequence, you can be sure of the outcome. When God is with you in your life, you will not be free of struggles or problems. Did you know that? I'm not here to curse you. I'm here to bless you. But there are struggles for those who walk in the will of God. And when you walk in the will of God and He is involved in your consequence, you can be sure that He will see you through. He will anoint your life. He will give you understanding. He will open up possibilities that you could not do on your own. So let me talk about consequences. And go to the second vignette in Abram's life. And sometime later, Lot and his family were taken captive and captured. Genesis 14, 15, 16. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them. And them as the neighboring kings. And he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. Now, Lot had not made good decisions. And as a dad, you will find there are people you influence that do not always make decisions the way you would so choose. Still with me? You can have family members that make choices that are not good. You can have children that make decisions that you don't agree with. But does that mean you should write them off? And the answer to that question is no. For Abram did not write off Lot, even though he made decisions to go to a place that was questionable and now found himself in difficulty. He could have opted an attitude and decided he got what he deserved, but he did not. He was captured along with his family members, and these were people he loved. And he and his men, 318 in his household, assembled themselves, prepared. They had some help from neighboring allies, and they went after these family members that were in trouble to bring them back home and see that they are safe. The bottom line is that Abram would not surrender his family to tragedy, even if they chose it. He would not. He would not give up on them. Whatever the consequences taking place in your home today with family members, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, grandparents, relatives of any sort, high and low, we don't write them off. We stand in the gap. We cry out to God for them. Our heart is moved. We're not going to turn our back. We're going to do what's necessary, even if it risks what we have, that God has blessed us with, because God is with us, and that which He gives, He will help us to maintain so that we can go and fight for those that are around us. And so we reach beyond consequence to bring others to safety. Amen. Second thought. Abraham welcomed God's presence in his home. And so we go to our next vignette. And this is now after Lot has been restored to his home. He's back in Sodom and Gomorrah, along with his family. And the compromise has continued to erode their hearts and souls and bring danger and painful destruction their way. And so I read Genesis 18:1, and it said, "The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day." The thought here is he welcomed God's presence into his home. So it was high noon, and three visitors showed up unexpectedly. He was not expecting them in any way. Finding out that two of them were angels, and one of them was the angel of the covenant. Have you ever entertained an angel, but you weren't aware until afterwards? You can think about that. At this point, Abraham's tent was turned into a palace. Not only was there the thought that God had showed up, but he had no embarrassment that God had showed up. God was visiting his home. There was nothing for him to be shamed for, because his home was in order. The presence of God was welcome there. Perhaps that's the reason why the presence of God showed up. I don't know if you're getting the correlation out of that. But if the presence of God is not showing up, could it be that we are not welcoming the presence of God? Okay? So fathers, do you welcome Christ to your home with no embarrassment? Would Christ showing up at your house this afternoon, house, home, tent, apartment, condo, wherever it is that you live, would Christ showing up there cause you to feel like you needed to go hide things before he looked around? Books, magazines, computer drives. Ooh, you're a guest, you're meddling, all right? You're still alive. Computer drives, yes. We did not allow our children to have computers in their rooms where we could not see. Now I'm meddling even more. Yeah. Whatever sources of entertainment, things we have watched, things we are watching. If the Lord showed up at 1 o'clock today, and I'll be done before then, in your house, would you want to go hide things before he looked around? Would he be alarmed at the relationships among you? The way you care for one another, the way you love each other, the way you listen with care and compassion, the way discipline is enforced, not in a controlling, hurtful way, but in a safe, guiding fashion. Would God be pleased with what he would find? That in our home and household, there is a place of prayer, that there is a time in which we honor the Word of God and even have family devotions. You keep meddling, don't you, John? Yes, I do, because I like to. Hallelujah. Would he find consistency in lifestyle? The same publicly, the same behind the scenes. Was at a committal service yesterday afternoon. The man had died at age 93, and his children said he was the same publicly as he was behind the scenes. And his grandchildren said he was the same publicly as he was behind the scenes. That's really good, amen? Okay. A young man who was ready to leave home was given some guidelines by his dad for how he would frame his future. And the guidelines that he would consider had to do with proper food, proper exercise, proper associations. So hang on, we're going for a ride, okay? Dads, we need to have a good reference Bible. And I want to challenge you for a time a day, perhaps an hour in which you study the Word, and that you prepare your heart to receive it and you place it inside so that it guides everything you do. That you ask the author of the book, do you know the author of the book called the Bible? That you ask the author of the book to guide you, and that you study it for application. For as you do, you will be equipped for service. You'll be prepared for life. You will have the open doors that God has dictated on your behalf. And as you believe the promises, and by the promises we become partakers of the exceeding great and precious nature of God himself, that his life becomes ours and his ways are introduced to our ways, and opportunities that are divine take place in our lives, and that we see that our life is not natural, but our life is supernatural, and there is an awesome opportunity for divine appointment on a daily basis, and we see God giving things that we could never provide on our own, that the message of God is being revealed inside of us. And so that is our proper food. The next is our proper exercise. How many of you like exercise? Thank you, Kyla. Yes, exercise. I biked 10 miles yesterday in the rain. Ooh, it was invigorating. Okay, so we confess Christ before men. We get our life into the visible church. This is the visible church. We need each other. We need the church family. We need to be in the visible church. There's some who claim they can walk with Christ and not be in the visible church. It's not the plan of God, folks. The visible church is the plan of God. We belong together. We need each other. We come together. We observe the ordinances, the communion service, and remember the body and blood of the Lord. That we forgive one another as we do so, that we hold no aught amongst ourselves, that we keep ourselves right before God and man, that we're baptized in water. And if you've not yet been baptized in water, may I just say, please, please be baptized in water, that you pray daily. Hear me, God answers. Pray daily. He knows what you say, and he hears. And as you obey the word of God in your life becomes more like his. Your time and your talents become gifts that are used for his glory. And I want to encourage you to give systematically unto the work of God, your tithes brought into this storehouse, and your offerings for missions to go beyond who you are and where you are, and that you are generous and you're ecstatic about your giving. Amen? Amen. I got several amens. Let's get three of them. Amen. Amen. Four amens. Amen. Amen. Oh, till we get everybody amen and amen. Amen. Thank you for what you agreed on. Okay. Proper associations, that we walk in the light, that we walk with the wise, that we're not conformed to the world and its image, that we're conformed to Christ and who he is, and that we're spirit-led and spirit-filled and spirit-empowered, and that our life is established by God himself. Amen. Okay. Now, let's go to the next vignette. Abram's concern for others. And so we move on. Life has advanced. It's another time in his journey. And Sodom and Gomorrah is in trouble. Okay, Genesis 18, 22, 23. The men turned away and went towards Sodom. But Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" And this is prayer. This is intercession. This is crying out unto God. So Lot had moved home to Sodom and Gomorrah, once again staying on the edge, on the edge, on the edge. Some people see how close to the edge they can get without going over on the edge. But the edge can be dangerous, folks, because when I get to the end of this story, Lot does come out, and he barely makes it with his daughters, but he doesn't make it with his wife because they were living on the edge, a dangerous place to live. God wants your home safe. Can I meddle a little? A little? Somebody say yes. Yes. Thank you, Pastor. All right. Our children, Christy, oldest, Kurt, second, Connor, third, our children would press the envelope with mom and dad, particularly Kurt, number two. He's a pastor. Yes, second born. All right. He would push the envelope. Life was not about black and white. He loved gray. Hallelujah. The mixing of the colors. All right. And it was always the edge. If we drew the line here, he would push it here. He always would. So we concluded we better draw the line at a safe place because he's going to go over it anyway. You still with me? So if my line is here and he's going to go here, then at least here is not as bad as there. Yeah? Yeah? Let's not live on the edge, folks. Let's not live on the edge. The edge is often a dangerous place to be. Okay. So we've got Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. The two angels go down and visit, and they're figuring out what's going on down there. They're going to see up close and have the proof before God has the intervention. And the angel of the covenant stays behind. And I've wondered, why did the angel of the covenant stay behind? I believe it's the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Okay, why did he stay behind? Is it because he knew he wouldn't be welcome in Sodom and Gomorrah? He knew he was welcome with Abram. So he stayed behind. And this pleading prayer process took place so that God would spare all the righteous. And before all is said and done, there are only three coming out. Only three. Starts with four, goes to three. But may God keep us from these dangerous places. Because as Abram was pleading for his family members, God was intervening on their behalf. There were six requests for mercy, and all of them were answered. And in this, God spared those who were truly righteous. Now, I'm bringing up a topic that's not comfortable. But, folks, it can be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God when our heart isn't right. But when we're walking where we should, to fall into the hands of a living God is the greatest joy and fulfillment of our existence. Amen? Amen. I want to fall into the hands of a living God. If you don't go with me, I don't want to go there. God gave that choice to the Israelites as they were coming out of Egypt and going into the promised land. They were so contentious and rebellious and fighting and backbiting. He said, I won't go with you. You can have the promised land. I just won't go. Moses said, no, if you don't go, I don't want to go. Are you with me there? If God isn't with me, I don't want to go there. I don't want to gain the world and lose him. I don't want all the resource that exists about me so that I can have everything I want and not have the Lord. I want the Lord more than anything. Amen? Amen. Okay, last vignette, because it's time to stop this thing. All right? Abraham trusted his family to God, Genesis 21, 1 and 2. So we now go to a later time. We're past Sodom and Gomorrah. We're at God testing Abraham concerning his son Isaac. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. He replied, then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Abraham was willing to trust God. The two traveled for several days to a place chosen by God where a sacrifice was going to happen. It wasn't going to be the son because God was going to provide the sacrifice, but Abraham trusted God enough for God to make the sacrifice. That's huge. How far do we go in our trust for God? I want to ask you, how far will you trust him? Job's experience, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. There are times in your life where the bottom falls out. It's not the way you want it. It's not what you expected to happen in life. Will you serve him no matter what? Do you trust him enough that you will hold to him to the end? Dr. Grenfell, in his book, Off the Rocks, tells of a father who was a fisherman, and he came to a point where repeatedly on Saturdays, his nets would be broken. And if he was going to earn a living for his family, he would have to repair those nets and have them ready for fishing on Monday. And Sunday seemed to be the day to repair those nets. I'm going to meddle by the time this is over, so put your seatbelt on, okay? And his pastor told him, well, you know, if your nets are broken, you need to fix your nets. And the man said, no, because if I stay at home and fix my nets on Sunday, my children are not going to be in church worshiping God. And I'd rather have broken nets and my children in church than fixed nets and more money and missing church. And as time passed, his children served the Lord, and they didn't fall away. And when they grew up, they walked with Christ, and they were married, and their children did the same because they made the choices of what was most important. Now, folks, we have so many choices of what to do on Sunday. We have so many. And of 31 years of watching people who chose sports over God and recreation over God and this and that and everything else over God, and work and money and whatever they wanted over God, and then to see what would happen to their children. And you go to the next, you fast forward 10 years to a lifestyle that has replacements for God, and you see the end result of problems you do not want. Yeah. And the choice as to whether or not we will give our all unto the Lord. A father's success is not measured by pleasure, money, possessions, toys. It's measured by the well-being of home, family, and our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen.